was obsessed with this bizarre photo of Justin Bieber. In the photo, Justin Bieber's sitting alone on a park bench and appears to be eating a burrito, but that's not the weird part. The weird part is he's eating the burrito sideways. Here's the photo here. Now, we don't know. Maybe Bieber's burrito started to split at the side. You know, Despacito times call for Despacito measures.
Nobody eats a burrito from the middle out. That's bizarre.
Yeah, this picture, I saw it and I laughed out loud for quite a while. He's holding the burrito like corn on the cob and eating it.
Well, the caption's perfect. It's roughly, does Justin Bieber not know how a burrito works?
Very funny picture.
Yeah, beautiful. One final mailbag. Well, email. You can mail us. Email us at armed. Can I start this whole thing over again? One final piece of email for mailbag. You can email us anytime at mailbag@armstrongandgetty.com. You can see why that sentence was so difficult to get through. Dear A&G, writes David, I cringed recently when I heard Positive Sean giving investment advice on your show. It's not investment advice.
No.
It's a market report. Yeah. It's a one-word market report.
Absolutely. It's very handy. One word.
Do you have one for today yet, Sean? Or I'm putting you on the spot. We hadn't warned you.
The markets are slumping.
Oh, no. No. Anyway.
Awesome.
Here's what David wants you to know. Joseph Kennedy allegedly sold vast quantities of his holdings right before the 1929 stock market crash and kept many millions in profits. Kennedy decided to sell because he overheard shoeshine boys and other novices speculating on stocks.
Interesting.
To Warren Buffett's quote, when everyone else is greedy, I get scared. When everyone else is scared, I get greedy. Kennedy allegedly overheard everybody thinking they could make a mint in stocks and thought, uh-oh. This is a bubble.
It's like when everybody I knew was flipping houses. Everybody.
Right.
And then it just crashed like it's never crashed before.
Right.
Well, the stock market was doing great, reaching all-time highs on a nearly daily basis.
Right.
Then I started investing.
Yeah.
And now it's not doing so well.
Well, it'll come back.
Buy low, sell high. That's what I say.
It can take years to come back sometimes, but it'll come back.
This week, Jack, the S&P 500, which is a much better measure of the general health of the market than the Dow Jones, has plunged from 2669 to 2666. What? That can't be right.
Oh, there's a 3-point
2773.
Drop.
To 2666.
All right.
A plunge. Nah, it'll be fine. It goes up, it goes down. You'll be fine.
I've taken this opportunity to re-strengthen some of my positions and the equities that I have in these companies.
You've doubled down.
I'm not trading stocks. I'm investing in businesses.
Absolutely. And if it really crashes, I'm jumping in both feet. The bomb thing. So a couple more today. Cory Booker got a couple, and the former director of National Intelligence, or NSA, or whatever he was, James Clapper.
Old bald-headed, forehead-rubbing James Clapper. Not
please clap.
Not wittingly, James Clapper.
I don't remember which intelligence thing he was ahead of, and then I thought to myself, does it make any difference? We've got so many now, and different layers of spying on us all. I thought it was interesting. We had our former New York police detective guy on earlier.
Chief of detectives, the capo di capo.
Talking about the bombs and looking for them and everything like that. And I understand from his point of view what he did for a living, why he would say this. But he said the good thing is, because talking about they're now down in Florida. They think the bombs came out of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the good thing in New York is we got cameras everywhere, so we catch everything. But in Florida, I don't know if they have that sort of thing. And me, as a libertarian, who's way more afraid of that than bombs, I hear that and I think, oh, my God, cameras everywhere.
Right.
There are lots of people like him because his job every day is to stop us from getting blown up. But there's a lot of guys like him who think cameras everywhere is fantastic. That way, if anything happens, we immediately can catch the suspect. And there's a lot of you who believe that. And I'm telling you, it's going to be our ruin.
A couple months ago, I got in a small little, just traded some paint in a city street with a car, you know, just a little fender bender thing. And I was shocked that the insurance companies, when I was talking through it, they were like, well, what were the businesses around you? We can sometimes contact them. They have security footage. We can actually see. They have security cameras looking out at the patios on their restaurants or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes we can see what actually happens through those things. I was like, oh, What?
I'm sure in New York, any fender bender there's video of.
I read a great.
And that'll be, it's going to happen. I can howl all I want. Every city will have this by the time I'm dead.
I read a great bit of analysis the other day. I'll see if I can find it and who wrote it and give you some more detail. But the long and short of it was the differences between the worldviews, the day-by-day lives, the needs of urbanites, suburbanites, and ex-urbanites and rural types. We all have very different lives and very different needs from our government. But now the urban centers so control the population within any state, for instance, that the needs of Democrats in California, to cite an obvious example, urbanites, vastly outweigh the huge swaths of land and many millions of people who live different lives. Illinois is an egregious example of it. It's a huge state with all sorts of different people in cities and towns and villages and farms
and the rest of it. Cameras thing?
And it is all, I'm getting there, and it is all controlled by Chicagoans. Well, big cityites put up with crowds and crimes and muggings and car break-ins and the rest of it, and they say, yeah, sure, we need cameras. We want cameras.
I think you're insane.
The surveillance state is a great idea.
I think you're insane, ignorant, maybe even stupid if you think cameras everywhere is a good thing. If you think that's not going to be abused by the federal government or your local mayor or whoever, you're ignoring all of human history and all of human nature.
Correct.
You're just so wrong.
Right.
Yet it's going to happen. I can scream and yell until I'm red in the face. It's not going to make any difference. There's going to be cameras everywhere by the time I leave the planet.
Yeah.
That's just the world my kids are going to grow up in. And it will be abused.
Oh, yeah. There have been low-level political disputes between the chief of police and the mayor in various towns that I've read about, in which all of those means are abused. They're
sure.
Misused. And, you know, that sort of thing is pathetic and damaging for the few people involved. But it just illustrates the point. You know, it's funny. I was going to make the same point on a different story later, but the other giant blind spot, I think, is people who put all their trust in government thinking once somebody gets into the government, they become some sort of angel that's not motivated by self-interest or lack of desire to do any work. They're this special breed of beautiful, beautiful human being. They probably glow in the night because they're not like us, except that they are. Of course they are and always have been. But I don't know.
So you'll have some.
We're losing this argument, Jack. Just shut up and take it.
You have some political party.
Smile for the camera.
You have some political party that's trying to get a third view going, like a Tea Party or Bernieism or whatever it is.
Greens, whoever.
In the future, you'll never be able to get it off the ground when I got all those cameras everywhere watching everybody all the time for a variety of reasons. First of all, they can catch you in a federal crime. Every day we read the federal crime of the day.
Right.
We all break federal law every day because there's gazillions of them. A lot of them are stupid. But they'll be able to bust you with a crime or whatever they want to do to stop any political opposition from ever getting anywhere.
You know, I realize Ayn Rand was over the top in a lot of ways, and her novels are overly long, and frequently boring and for long passages. But the one thing she got right was that what governments do and those who want to control you do is they make so many things a crime, they can always make you a criminal. They can always find something you did. Your taxes, which are so complicated. I mean, my goodness, the number of you listening right now who have never made a mistake on your taxes is zero. It is vanishingly small, as they say. So if somebody chooses to, they can declare you a criminal. All your rights go away. Your neighbors start to look at you crosswise. They can surveil you. They can all sorts of things. And she was absolutely right about that.
And then your private life, anything in your private life that they can catch on camera and hold against you of any level, mm-hmm. have that over you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we're headed. It's just interesting when you hear the law enforcement crowd is all for it.
Right. But you don't want to hear this. You want to stare at your smartphone and watch your Netflix with your throne games.
Let me pay this off really quickly. How much impact will President Trump have on your congressional vote? Your congressional vote.
13.4%. Thank you for asking.
The plurality number, the biggest number, is blues, Democrats, 35%. And it's only 35% of Democrats, a third. So two-thirds won't make their congressional vote with Trump in mind. But a third will. Then it drops down to 23% for your supporters of Trump. But there's a big chunk, damn near half, much lesser roles. He doesn't have an impact on my vote is the next biggest number at 25%. Actually, that's the second biggest number. A little on either side. But so almost half of people, not really. Not really going to play a role.
Yeah.
The whole crowd that's not aware that there are differences between the parties and could take one or the other, that's fine. I don't think that's a huge crowd right now.
I've got the most popular Halloween candy in every state. That's breaking news.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
By the number of states that have their favorite Halloween candy, the impossible to choke down candy corn.
Candy corn's delicious.
Oh, my God.
It's fabulous.
It's like a...
You nibble the tip, then you eat the middle part, then you eat the bottom.
It's like a punishment. I'm going to move to the state that has... what do I like? I don't like Starburst either. Saltwater taffy? Hey, Nebraska, check yourself.
Is Werther's Originals on there?
North Carolina, M&M's. I'd go there. I'll live in North Carolina.
You did live in North Carolina.
Favorite candies, M&M's.
You seem to be quite happy at the time.
Stay tuned for more of that and other stuff on the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Say they haven't caught the bomber yet, if you're wondering that. A couple of more bombs showed up today, didn't go off. Cory Booker, Senator Cory Booker, who's likely to be running for president. You might remember him from the Kavanaugh hearings, so he kind of fits in with that whole high-profile, progressive crowd to be... Hated if you're the certain kind of person, I guess.
If I were the sort of person to make sarcastic and politically incorrect jokes, I would suggest that Kamala Harris is even now building her own fake bomb to send to herself.
Wow.
Because she wants to be on that list of people so antagonistic to Donald Trump that his crazy, crazy followers are sending them pipe bombs.
Yeah.
Speaking of the bomber guy, it is a guy.
Yeah.
I have a fairly high level of certainty based on... Very little. That they have a name and probably have the guy surrounded and under surveillance.
Oh, really? I hope that...
And are compiling evidence and keeping an eye on him so closely that he can't go anywhere.
Well, I hope they arrest
that's
him
a guess.
During our show. I'll tell you, we've been talking about, we think we know what he looks like. Unfortunately, he probably looks exactly like this guy that shot up a grocery store yesterday in Kentucky. And... killed two people? Yeah. And he's going to look a lot like that guy.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good description of what you said yesterday.
Yeah.
Kind of a fattish, angry-looking white guy with facial hair. Probably looks similar to that.
Days growth was my description.
This particular gunman, apparently a white guy, came across a guy who said, "Don't shoot me," and he said, "Whites don't kill whites." So it was racially motivated. If that is
true. Enjoy prison, you friggin' moron.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so that's that.
Wow. That's brutal.
Yeah, and it oftentimes, whether it's, you know, your classic Middle Eastern terrorism or this kind of thing, it's disappointing is not the right word. Maybe it is. When you catch the guy, you just think, okay, it's a dummy or a crazy person.
Yeah.
It's just sad and maddening that person exists. Like the guy who shot all those people in Las Vegas.
Right.
And just, you know, he's just an idiot.
Right. Just a guy with a screw loose who decided to prove something, apparently. One of my favorite columnists growing up, because I was a freaky little kid, I read the newspaper every single day. Mike Royko wrote for the Chicago Tribune for years and years, talked about he was mugged at gunpoint once. And the thought that roared through his head as this moron had a gun right in his face is, I got through college, I served in the military, I was in battle, I got married, I've raised all these children, I've written all these columns, I'm an older man now, and this moron gets to end it? And just the screaming injustice of that was what was going through his head.
Yeah, what could be more unfair than that?
Yeah, if a stupid, stupid idiot
hurts you or ends your life, it's still over. So why are we this is Friday.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of radio show is this?
Hey, do you want uplifting?
I won't have it. Hanson, executive producer, take over here. Over the reins.
I think I've got uplifting, if you want uplifting.
I do.
It's going to have a rough start.
Or amusing.
A rough start to uplifting.
Oh, no.
It's easier to go up if you start when you're down.
Yeah, well, I'll start at the bottom because I just saw this headline yesterday. A couple of people died at Yosemite climbing again.
Yeah, they were found at the bottom of a cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so a couple of people died. But so there's this documentary.
They probably didn't die of food poisoning.
Right.
Yeah.
Or old age.
Right.
So there's
all right, it's not funny.
This documentary out. Well, you know, you choose to go climbing, funny. Which kind of fits in with this documentary. This documentary, Alex Honnold, I'd never heard of him. He's the world's greatest free solo rock climber. Free solo means, and I didn't know this until a half hour ago. Obviously, you're doing it alone. That's the solo part. Free is you got no ropes. So you see a lot of rock climbing with the people with the ropes, and they put in the thing, and you go a little higher and put in the thing and chat your rope. No. He just hands and feet.
Climbs like a spider.
And he's the only person that's ever free soloed El Capitan Yosemite, and he didn't fall off. And there's a documentary made.
It's impossible. Does he have suction cups for hands? What is
it's astonishing that I can't believe a human can do that.
And
I can't believe it's the same species as me.
Here's the review, and then I'll explain to you best as I can why. Really good art. You can't explain why it's good art in an article. You got to see it, right? You got to listen to it.
You can give a clue.
But I'll give you a clue. This reviewer in the New York Times said, I went to see Free Solo for a second time after I couldn't get it out of my head. I still can't. The film is a drug. It causes your pupils to dilate, your palms to sweat, and your mind to boggle. Even as you know that Honnold is going to make it to the top, you can't believe what you're seeing. And then he gets into why the movie is what it is. And it gets into the purpose of life and the way we live our lives. And it's he said it's messed up everything he does. But somehow the documentary brings home the point that this guy has crafted a life where every single thing he does is consequential. Everywhere he puts his hand or everything he puts his feet, all of his training, every little bit, his gear, everything he does, what he ate for breakfast, everything has some meaning.
Wow.
In his life.
Wow.
With life and death on the line and how that brings purpose to life. And, you know, anything less than that is not being a human being. Just kind of, you know, floating through your day, eating junk food, thinking about stupid crap, which is, I'm talking about myself.
until one day the ticker stops ticking.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's making me sad again. No, I totally get that. That's why I'm rereading Tribe by Sebastian Younger, and it's freaking me out a little bit.
Speaking of Sebastian Younger, he wrote the book what was the name of that?
Restrepo.
Yeah. And he was with some of Marines in Afghanistan, and one of the things he mentioned in that book, when he got back to the United States, how difficult it was to adjust back to the mundane, just wasting time crap in life. He said, over there, how you tied your shoes in the morning was a life or death situation. Everything mattered and how much more alive he felt in that environment.
Right.
So it fits in with the rock climbing thing. I don't know how exactly with, you know, raising kids and doing a radio show, I would craft the life where everything is life and death. And I'm not sure I want to.
Right. Well, and as a guy who suffers from vertigo, like height-related freakouts, I'm not sure I could sit through the movie. Can he write a book, please? I'll read that.
But I guess the point would be to have more consequential things in your life make you feel more alive. And doesn't that wear you out? Everything being consequential? Don't you crack at some point?
You would. You have to manage that. You have to seek balance. Just a different balance.
How about sitting on the couch with a bowl of crap food watching a game you don't even really care about? How does that factor in? Because I like to do that.
What are you trying to do to us?
What's coming up in your news, Marshall?
Well, closing in on clues as two more suspicious packages show up. We've got an update on the caravan. What will the U.S. do when they get to the southern border? And World Series ticket prices plunging.
Oh, really? As the series moves to Los Angeles.
Yes.
All that on the way on the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Leave my heart open, but it stays right here in its cage.
Boy, Megyn Kelly, when she started talking about Halloween costumes the other day on her show, had no idea that her career at the current point was about to come to an end. Did she?
No. No. By now, we've had terrible Halloween costume-related segments on this show, but it hasn't cost us our gig.
Sean, can you remind us what her children's names are? Megyn Kelly has three kids named...
Yardley, Yates, and Thatcher.
Wow. That's trying pretty hard. That's trying pretty hard.
And each one of them gets a yacht on their 11th birthday.
Wow. News now with Marcia Phillips.
Well, we got a dozen.
Those kids were born with private tennis lessons.
Yeah, exactly. Out of the womb.
We've now got a dozen suspected explosive devices that have been aimed at high-profile targets in the U.S., primarily Democrats. The latest suspicious package addressed to former National Intelligence Chief James Clapper at CNN Studios in New York. An earlier package was intercepted in Florida before it got to New Jersey Democratic Senator Cory Booker. Booker's package was found at the same mailing center in Opa-locka, where several others ended up or passed through, and at least one of the new packages has that same Six Forever group of stamps on it, similar to the others.
They're down there in Opa-locka, and they're talking to Gertrude down there at the diner. And she said the same thing as Hank at the paint store, who said the same thing as Jimmy the deputy. It's gotta be old Willie. Old Willie lives out by the swamp, and old Willie's, the noose is already around him, and it's tightening. I'll betcha. I mean, if it's going on in a place like that, everybody has an idea who it might be.
2 weeks of walking are taking a toll on that caravan of Central American migrants, now estimated at about 4,000 as they slowly march.
So it was 7,000, now it's down to 4,000?
Yeah, they're slowly marching through Mexico, far, though, from their goal of reaching the United States. And with more U.S. troops reportedly headed to the U.S.-Mexico border to shore up that border in anticipation of the arrival of the caravan, Fox News interviewed Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen and asked point blank what was on the table to stop the migrants from getting into the U.S.
Is there any scenario under which if people forced their way across the border, they could be shot at?
We do not have any intention right now to shoot at people. They will be apprehended, however. But I also take my officer and agent, their own personal safety, extraordinarily seriously. They do have the ability, of course, to defend themselves.
What kind of a question was that? Are you going to shoot at them?
Send in the military. Actually, the military just does backup stuff. Yeah. They fix the jeeps and they manage the radio communications.
Right.
They don't stand there with guns.
So that's from the side of the media that's supposed to be lowering the rhetoric. Are you going to shoot them? Right. Okay.
Now, I have been a secure the borders, reform immigration in every way. Figure out what to do with the people there. Figure out what to do with the DACA people. I'd like to think of myself as a realist and a reasonable person when it comes to immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely toward the conservative side. I'm telling you, this whole migrant caravan sending the troops to the border thing, it's a pretty good midterm publicity stunt. It's a pretty good get people fired up thing. Now, I'm not saying, because this caravan thing happens every year, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. And it was real, and the CNNs of the world had embedded reporters walking along with them earlier in the week.
And some years it's bigger than others, and this is a particularly big year. Right. And I'm totally with you that the idea of, you know, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people showing up in the border and just forcing their way or demanding their way in,
but
and carefully researched. They know exactly what to say to get refugee status. I heard the figure the other day that in the last few years, and it's just a few years, 5 years? I can't remember, but the percentage of people who claimed legitimate fear, because that's what you have to be a refugee, has gone from 5% to 42%. So everybody knows what to say. Having said all of that stuff, caravan coming at the borders is a pretty convenient thing.
As I said earlier in the week, and I think it gets to your point, whatever your point is, that I said that those 7,000 people aren't going to walk 1,500 miles. They're just not. You can't do that. Nobody does that. Right. You don't just put on your regular clothes with your wife and kids and go and walk 2,000 miles. You can't do it. So there was going to be something had to happen there.
Well, I imagine they'll keep straggling. Because it's an activist thing, for one thing.
Well, yeah, but at the current rate of attrition, there's going to be one person get to the border, and we should welcome them with open arms because they have stick-to-itiveness that we look for in this country.
Indeed.
Meanwhile, the Washington Examiner is reporting Mexican nationals and other foreign smugglers over the last 3 years have managed to cut more than 1,700 body-size holes in San Diego's border fence between Tijuana and San Diego.
Build the wall!
You got from little slits in the fence to entire square portions cut out of it. Agents repair them right away after they're discovered, but the repair work has taken them away from other duties. They've got it down to a science now. The smugglers will come out early in the morning when there's thick fog around that lasts till about noon. They cut the holes in the fence and they usher people and other things through the fence. And then leave before the sun, you know, burns the fog off. So that's what's going on the border right now.
They're good at their jobs.
And a World Series moves from Boston to L.A. tonight as the Dodgers host the Red Sox in Game 3 at Chavez Ravine. The Sox leading the best-of-seven matchup 2-0. That lead sending ticket prices for Games 3 and 4 at Dodger Stadium plunging 40%. Got a quick check of StubHub shows. Tickets priced at $338, a huge drop from 3 days ago when the series began. They were over $600 a piece then.
Yes, but now it comes to this side of the country. Oral Hershiser, Ron Say. Can I get together? Sandy Koufax.
Kirk Gibson.
Yes,
exactly.
Tommy Lasorda on the sideline.
Jackie Robinson.
Absolutely.
Well, keep this in mind. The home team in the playoffs over the last couple of years in baseball have won a whopping 54% of the games.
Oh, really?
It is the lowest home field advantage in any major sport.
Did not know that.
Now you do.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
There you go. That's your news. I'm Marshall Phillips, the Armstrong and Getty Show, the conscience of the nation.
It's not like crowd noise prevents you from seeing a curveball.
And you don't really run on like the emotion of like football where you just, everybody gets all geeked up with the noise in the crowd. You just bowl people over. You can't bowl people over. You got to like really concentrate.
Right.
Which, you know, is different.
Yeah. There are a few things that are auditory in baseball. You hear them, but it's almost entirely visual as opposed to football.
Like I could hear really well, "You suck!"
Right.
I could hear that perfectly well. What's the most popular Halloween candy in your state?
And are you down with the Saturday Halloween movement?
It might be
just a movement to unite the country. Republicans, Democrats, them, us.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I got to admit, if you got kids, the Halloween in the middle of the week ain't the greatest. You're listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation.
What are you looking at back there, huh? Some of y'all never been down south too much. I'm going to tell you a little story so you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Yes, Elvis?
Down there we have a plant that grows out in the woods and the fields. And it looks something like a turnip green.
Maybe you ought to eat some of that so your movements would be more regular.
Wow!
Hey!
So this is Elvis singing
his... poke salad.
Yes, poke salad Annie. The guy who wrote this song died, so we're just jamming in an Elvis version of it. And Tony Joe White.
Yeah.
And so we got the video of Elvis singing this at the website. It's pretty entertaining. Full jumpsuit, the whole thing.
Is this skinny Elvis?
Kind of in between. He's starting, his face is getting a little jowly.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but this is early 70s Elvis.
Yeah, still
late
cool.
60s.
Still cool, but not embarrassing. That'd be the point. Not embarrassing at all.
Was he yet an appointed drug czar from Richard Nixon at this stage?
About this time.
Yeah, I think that's probably just, he's got the jumpsuit on, but he's still thin.
Look at those collars. Oh my God, will collars like that ever come into style?
If they do, I'm never stopping wearing them.
Look at his karate moves, man.
Hey, you.
Should go out and even some finger mess of it.
Well, how much vamping is too much? Apparently nobody had anything to do in 1971.
Well, if your body is full of like 15 different drugs, it's amazing how much.
I can't look away. This is fascinating.
Isn't it? And when Elvis Sean, when I was a kid, Elvis special comes on TV, everybody'd be talking about it that day at school. And you'd watch it and talk about it the next day, how great it was. The Elvis special on television.
And I mentioned this a few weeks ago. I heard a special on... Well, it was mostly about Elvis, and they had the basic tracks for Suspicious Minds, which is one of his last tunes, and it was guitar, bass, drums, and his voice. And the finished product, strings and horns and all sorts of chicks singing backup, just this huge, lush arrangement. But him, guitar, bass, and drums, you're reminded why he was a superstar. It was amazing. And the fact that he became a cartoon character is just, you know, unfortunate. But
with his karate moves, there he's doing his Elvis is doing his karate moves. Ha! Yeah.
You get a quiet kid from a small town in the South and make him an international superstar, it'll freak him out sometimes.
Speaking of musicians and kung fu, you wouldn't think you could make that transition.
I'm waiting.
I'm really into Gary Clark Jr., a current musician, and he's got a new album coming out, but he had to interrupt recording. His hand is all bandaged up after what he tweeted was a drunk kung fu fail. No more details.
Oh, no.
I don't know what kind of kung fu he's trying to do that injured his hand to the point that he can't play the guitar anymore. But
so unwise.
Your hands are really fragile. You shouldn't really be trying to chop or punch stuff.
Drunk kung fu fail. Yeah. There's probably been a number of those throughout history.
That is unfortunate. We have a late night joke off coming up. On the topic of Donald J. Trump using his personal phone when he's not supposed to be.
Which is kind of a bogus story.
An allegation that the White House is strenuously and categorically denying.
And I'm saying that's just not true. News. But anyway, The jokes could be fun.
Yeah. Also, former FBI agents are warning against jumping to conclusions about why mail bombs were sent to President Trump's political enemies. I wouldn't eliminate Republican leanings or Democratic leanings. The bottom line is, it is a political message that someone is sending out. You have to ask what message was being sent. Well, I think you will ask that when you catch the person.
I'm telling you, my prediction is he's got a mishmash of political views that aren't going to fit tidily into one thing.
Right.
Enough of it is anti-Democrat, anti-progressives enough, obviously, that he sent the bombs to the people he sent them to. But well, he's a nut job.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
And
so it's not going to connect. Correctly. It's not going to connect in a normal way.
And we're all comfortable saying he, because the chance it's not is practically zero.
Right. So anyway, we'll see. I'm not that anxious about it. Oh, the one note from CNN's breathless and ridiculous coverage of the story, because they see it as a giant publicity stunt. The network, I'm not, you know, if indeed there was danger in the newsroom or the mailroom or whatever, I'm not playing that down. But their lead yesterday was fear spreads from coast to coast as more devices are found. And I'm thinking, I'm not the least bit afraid, are you?
I don't think anybody in their normal life is afraid.
No. And even the politicians, I mean, they didn't come anywhere near those politicians. Cory Booker doesn't open his own mail.
Joe Biden does at this point, though. He no longer has a Secret Service opening his mail as a retired vice president, which was kind of surprising to me.
Interesting.
I know you get presidents get detail for life. Vice presidents, you just good luck with that sorry job you had, and you go off to your, to your home.
Well, and Uncle Joe, of all people, who's going to bother to bomb Joe Biden?
Well, yeah.
A crazy person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So it was a story the other day, and then we'll pay off the story after the jokes, I guess, that Trump uses his own iPhone still. And the headline in the New York Times, Chinese and Russians likely listening to Trump's phone calls. That was the headline in the New York Times, which led us to the late night comedians taking a shot at a joke on that topic.
I'll grade the jokes. Bottom vote getter or grade getter gets banned from comedy or fined heavily. So far, the bans haven't stuck.
They're really pushing back against them.
Right, yeah. So heavy fines instead. Let's hear them.
Just came out that President Trump still uses his personal unsecured cell phone, which lets China and Russia listen to his calls. Americans were shocked. They were like, you guys actually want to listen to Trump?
According to the New York Times, Chinese
right, breaking
and Russian
news, breaking news. I can't grade it because I didn't hear that because there's breaking news being
this is
spoken
donkey.
Into my ear.
Full on donkey.
Oh, yeah. If you have a second donkey, add him in. CNN is reporting that the feds have arrested a subject in the bomb investigation.
Arrested, so that means alive, right? They got him.
I would assume so. You don't arrest a corpse. Generally?
Excellent point.
Generally.
They may have handcuffed a corpse.
Let's see. Feds arrest man in connection with suspected explosives.
They walked into his mobile home where he was sitting in his chair watching Fox News really loud.
And saying, what took you so long?
Next to his Rottweiler, and they put him in handcuffs. That'd be my guess. I would assume we're going to know more about this person in not too long.
Rottweiler's so 1996. He obviously has four pit bulls. Okay. All right. I would say by this afternoon we'll have a name and misreported details.
I'll bet earlier than that. Now, the misreported details will
have Here's the Tea Party guy. We found his name on a record. I'm ABC News.
He's probably in some sort of neighborhood or something. Somebody's going to tweet out about my neighbor, Jim. And it'll be out, and we'll tell you all about it, whether it's true or not.
And, right, and there will be a lot of people faking that stuff up just to be funny, and that will be reported.
You're gonna
Vlad Putin right now has his troll farms a-working.
It's probably online already, some old guy in a MAGA hat and a Trump T-shirt that turns out not to be this guy.
Right, but it's got the same name. Right.
Or they photoshopped his head in or whatever. Yeah, so we'll have some details coming up.
Meanwhile, the guys in some of those high-stakes races in Florida have to be thinking, oh, no, please don't have a Rick Scott for Senator sign in your front yard that your pit bulls are chewing on. Oh, please, oh, please.
So when did this story break? 2 days ago? Did it take, like, 52 hours to catch the person?
Yeah.
Well, something like that?
Listen, I just hope everybody recognizes that I predicted, what, an hour ago? They have this guy under surveillance. They're closing in. They're just watching him as they build evidence. And, like a sight-impaired hog seeking acorns or a stopped clock, I was right.
Yeah, so I can't wait to know more about this person, and that will be fodder for talk shows all day long on how Trumpy this guy was or wasn't.
Oh, jeez.
And how much should be laid at the foot of the president.
Well, and listen. They'll trot out the Bernie lover who shot up the baseball practice. And then what do we talk about, folks?
I don't know.
Then where does the conversation go?
Nowhere.
Why are we bothering?
Nowhere productive.
Right. Tell you what, tough times for a thinking woman, a thinking man. Frustrating.
So if there's any latest, we will bring it to you. Stay tuned. This is a good reason to never touch that dial. You're listening to the Armstrong and Getty Shows.